Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from Peter's first epistle, the second chapter. My dear friends in Christ, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And if you know that to be true, then you should know, and you probably do know, that you are called, we are called, to live in Christ's righteousness, reveling in all that he would have for us. If you know that the Lord is good and gracious and merciful, then you know too that he has given to you gifts. If your wife, gentlemen, came to you today and gave you a brand new Mercedes, would you just say, "Oh, thank you, my dear. I will always look upon it fondly," but then leave it in the driveway? Oh, ladies, Mother's Day, right? Mother's Day. Actually, today's even our anniversary, so we got two things going for us today. That's fun. Ladies, if your husband came to you and gave you a brand new diamond necklace this morning, would you say, "Thank you, honey. I'm going to cuddle up with it every night," but then never wear it? Kids, if your parents gave you the pony or the computer or the gaming system that you've always wanted, would you say, "Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you," and leave it in the box? Of course, I guess a pony doesn't really come in a box. A pony could come in a box. Anyway, if you meet the love of your life, would you just say, "Oh, it's so good to meet you, and now that I know what you look like, that's enough for me"? You see, we wouldn't do these things, would we? But that's how we often treat the gifts of Christ, isn't it? He's given us wonderful blessings of his word and his own revelation, the stuff that he wants us to know and the stuff he wants us to know about him. And we think that we can just go ahead and do with it as we please. We think we can use it a couple of times or when it's convenient for us, and the rest of the time we just ignore it or we keep it on a shelf or we gaze at it lovingly, while paying it only lip service. Or perhaps we add to the gift. We think that God might reveal something to us that comes from outside of the Bible. Maybe he'll tell us the plans that he has for our life. Maybe he really wants us to have the desires of our hearts. And maybe, just maybe, God has sent some preacher into our lives to tell us the things that we want to hear so that we can be satisfied with that. We all kind of want that, though, don't we? I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if he walked with us and talked with us and told us that we are his own, and the joy we'd share as we tarry there in that garden alone, speaking with one another as close as a friend? That would just be so wonderful, wouldn't it? But that's not what our Lord does. Our Lord Jesus Christ, even as we heard it last week, Good Shepherd Sunday, encourages us to hear his voice and his voice only, and to find that voice where he's promised it to be found, in his word. Every word of Scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, God-directed. And the promises that he has for you in that word are greater than the desires of our hearts. And he keeps asking and begging and commanding that we only listen to his word for all time. See, that's the pure spiritual milk that Peter asks us to long for. And the desire of God's children is to drink deeply and only from that sustenance forever. A mother does not give her baby Pepsi instead of milk. A father doesn't give his son stones instead of bread. We don't give vipers instead of hugs. We give what's necessary and needed, that the one that we care for is going to have life and have it abundantly, right? And so too does God. He has given you all that you need in word and sacrament, so that you may have life and have it eternal, even now, as we await the final revealing of Jesus on the last day. That is pure spiritual milk. And as priests of God's kingdom, the holy priesthood, you are even more than children to God. You are His dear, chosen people who advance His name for the sake of all people. That's what priests do. I think sometimes in our modern context, we get this idea that being a holy priesthood means that everybody is a minister. Have you heard this before? Everyone a minister. And sometimes it gets played in our Lutheran churches, and I think it's because for some reason we get it in our heads that Luther's Reformation made it so that every person is able to interpret the Bible for themselves. That we all, because we can read the Bible, are able to interpret it for ourselves. While that's sort of true, we have the right and responsibility as priests to dwell and meditate upon God's word. It's not true, though, that everyone's a minister of the church, a pastor to their own chosen people. That's where these denominations go wrong, where people kind of walk into the church and say, I'm going to be a pastor, and gather to themselves their own flock. You see, we don't have that ability to interpret the Bible for ourselves. The Bible interprets the Bible for itself. There is one right interpretation, and any other interpretation is then wrong. We have to hear God's word taught in its truth and its purity and no more. We don't make up doctrines or teachings, though certainly that's what our hearts desire for us. We fight against that desire. We hear what God has to say for His people, for you, the way He said it, why He said it. And we look to how it points to Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected for you. So think back to the Old Testament. The priests of God, nowhere in the Old Testament are the priests described as interpreting the word of God. In fact, they're not even the ones who bring that to the people. That is the job of the prophets, if you will. The priests do what? They speak, if you will, the command of God to sacrifice, and the results then from God of the sacrifice. They lift up the prayers. They kill the animals. They spread the blood on the altar. They sprinkle the blood on the people. They do it so that the sins of the people would be forgiven. And you see, that's the right that you have as priests of God. You are a holy priesthood built up into the spiritual house of God Himself, so that the sacrifices that you offer, the sacrifices of your prayer, the forgiveness of sins that you declare to another, these things would accomplish their purpose to point people to Jesus, the cornerstone, who, if any would believe in Him, they would have life eternal. How do you do these things? How do you lift up these prayers? How do you forgive the sins of others? You do it by simply doing your work. As a mother, as a father, a son, a daughter, a teacher, a doctor, an employee, an employer, a deacon of the church, a pastor, a wife, a husband, you get tasks that nobody else has. It's true. I get to be Liz's husband, and no one else gets to do that. And I get to be Eli's daddy, and nobody else gets to do that. And I get to be your pastor, and no one else gets to do that. I serve them, and I serve you with my hands and my words and my prayers, and no one else gets to do it. I sacrifice not only of time and talents, but out of my prayers. And I don't lift myself up in any way because I am not perfect. I'm not. I'm a sinner. I am selfish and I am hard and I am easily frustrated, but I repent and I'm forgiven. And I come back to do my work because I love Jesus. And because I love Jesus, I know that He desires for me to serve my neighbor through my vocation to the best of my ability. Because through my work, He is serving my neighbor. And so it is for you. You have a vocation. You do. You may have many, hundreds of vocations. Depends on how many neighbors you have. But you mess up, don't you? You sin. Repent of that sin. And you've done that today. You are forgiven. I forgive you. Christ forgives you. He loves you. Now go back to work. How can you do that? How can you do it knowing that you're going to mess up? How can you do it knowing that you're going to sin? You are a royal priesthood of God. You have been set apart for His purposes. You've been freed from your sin by His death. You've been given the promise of everlasting life by His resurrection. And you are constantly fed by His word, even by His ascension. You dive deep into that word, learning all that you can. You use His word to know more about Him, know more about His faithfulness, know more about His mercy, know more about His love for you. You know Jesus because He's told you about Himself. And then you go. You go and you do. You go and you do and you be. Whatever it is that your calling is, whatever your vocation, you serve and you pray. And then you come back here, meditate on God's word, be fed, be forgiven, and go back and do it all again. Rinse and repeat. Really? Baptism? Rinse and repeat. You see, you have the mercy of Christ on you. And you may then share that mercy with everyone else. You have that right and that responsibility. You lift others up in prayer. You forgive their sins. You bring them into the sheepfold of Christ. And then you are lifted too by the same. You're forgiven. You're brought into the congregation of the baptized. That's what Christ would do for you here in this place. Long for pure spiritual milk. And you're going to find it here. You're going to find it here because the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And He has placed Himself here so that you may know Him and hear only His voice and learn about Him and revel in the gifts of word and sacrament. And yes, the gift even of your vocation that He has given to you. Here you are served by Him so that you may be sent to serve others. Christ is the way and the truth and the life. And should you believe this, it is true for you as well. And may you know this with certainty and hope forever. May you know this, because He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.